What we want to talk about this week is the social conditioning that we're seeing all around the world for the mark of the beast and even the coming Antichrist. We see over and over again that the globalist elite, the politicians, and all these people who are involved in trying to create this new world order or the Great Reset, from the World Economic Forum, are doing grooming techniques or social conditioning techniques to prepare us for the mark of the beast. Now, it doesn't mean that they know that they're doing this, but we know what they're doing. And as we grow closer and closer to the events predicted that's going to be happening in the tribulation, which thank God we won't be here for, we're noticing right now the stage is getting set and the conditioning is happening for the events that the people will endure during the tribulation. For instance, like we see the conditioning for people accepting a one-world government. That's not a conspiracy theory now. That's what they all talk about. But they're also conditioning people to get ready for a one-world religion. It will be a religion of with an umbrella that incorporates all the facets of wokeism, which is the Whore of Babylon, and then you can practice your individual religion as long as you bow a knee to the wokeism, right? That's the Whore of Babylon. So they're conditioning everybody for the Whore of Babylon. And they're conditioning everybody now for a world economy. All the economies of the world are in debt, major debt that they'll never be able to get out of. And they're going to have to switch us to a new economy, a digital economy. And they're prepping the world for this, to accept this one-world digital economy. And look at how they're conditioning us for a digital currency. I mean, they're talking about, well, money's dirty, it passes viruses around, and so we want to be able to clean that up. And so they're just getting that into people's heads to say, yeah, that's going to be the new thing. And even now, stores and amusement parks and different places like that don't even accept cash anymore, right? Everything's going to a digital currency because of social conditioning with it. And again, also social conditioning of thinking that the free market economy system is bad and that somehow wealth transfer or Marxism, socialism, communism is okay because capitalism is greedy and so redistribution of wealth is the way to go. And they're conditioning people like that. The younger generation already thinks like this because they've been brainwashed by our schools and colleges and universities. And think about what we're seeing as far as a lawless system being implemented. I mean, we're being conditioned that you can't trust the court systems, you can't trust the lawyer, there's no way to fight the things that they're doing. So we're being conditioned to realize, hey, look, you're not going to have any recourse legally with anyone or anything. So therefore, it shows you that you're just going to have to comply and you're not going to be able to push back legally. Again, that's more social conditioning as we see more and more of this lawless state and us having no legal recourse to push back on that. Again, that's prepping us for the lawless system of the Antichrist. Think about the social conditioning about morality. Now, they push a morality system that is in direct opposition to the Lord's. And you know all the issues I'm talking about. And so because of that, they're conditioning that this is the new value system, tolerance, acceptance, and all those buzzwords that you hear out there, wokeism and all that stuff, all of that is diametrically opposed to the Bible. And so it is a lawless morality that people are being conditioned to. And look at what the churches are practicing. The churches are mirroring, you know, the societies now. So now you see churches with transgender pastors and things like that. You're seeing in some churches transgender pastors doing story hour with the children in the church. I mean, it's crazy. It's an abomination. But that's all through social conditioning. And then furthermore, we see social conditioning for people to hate their individual countries, but to love globalism. And that's what the intent is, to condition people for globalism and be anti-patriotic. They're seeing people being conditioned to have and accept open borders and massive migration shifts throughout the world. And what is that doing? Erasing nationalism and erasing patriotism and erasing countries, basically, for globalism. But people are conditioned for that. They've moralized open borders, by the way. And now we're also seeing the conditioning that Christians should be persecuted. I mean, think about this. The latest stats that came out of Europe indicated that anti-Christian hate crimes rose 70% in Europe between 2019 and 2020. And this was according to Harbinger's Daily. That's a problem, right? So people are conditioned now to hate Christians. And then as far as the Antichrist is concerned, they're conditioning the world for his arrival. Think about this. Back in November, you might have seen this, you may not have. This was like the first week of November 2021. If you recall, they had the COP26 Climate Summit in Glasgow. I talked about it. But anyway, there was a speech given by Prince Charles at this event. And in his speech, he references a mysterious his. And no one knew what he was talking about. No one knows who this his is. H-I-S, his. I want you to listen to it. Listen to this speech. I cut out the certain part that says that. And again, who is he talking about?
As we tackle this crisis, our efforts cannot be a series of independent initiatives running in parallel. The scale and scope of the threat we face call for a global systems-level solution based on radically transforming our current fossil fuel-based economy to one that is genuinely renewable and sustainable. So, ladies and gentlemen, my plea today is for countries to come together to create the environment that enables every sector of industry to take the action required. We know this will take trillions, not billions of dollars. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. With trillions at its disposal, far beyond global GDP.
Did you catch that? That's crazy. Who is this his? Is that a veiled reference that they have someone waiting in the wings that's going to spring on the world and is going to be the man who solves all the world's problems? I don't know. I'm speculating. We don't know. But who is this mysterious his? And you know, the world's been prepped for a long time. And the world's being prepped right now, because this is why the global elites are introducing chaos into our societies around the world, no matter where you're living. And it's by design. So why? Because that people will want socially someone to deliver them from all this chaos and give them peace and security. So that's what's happening all over Europe, America, Canada, Western societies. They're introducing chaos so that they can come with a man with a plan to solve the problems. So that's conditioning, right? People will want someone to get control of all of this. And so right now, there's so much chaos going on that they're putting that into people, and the people just simply want their lives to return back to normal. And what they don't realize that's happening is these people are being conditioned to give up their rights and their liberties for the sake of what they call the common good or the global good, right? Whether that's whatever topic it is, racial issues, or it's save the planet, or it's having to do with medical. And I won't mention what I'm talking about, but you know, when they stick something in your arm and they're conditioning people for the stick and saying, look, you got to get stuck because this will save everyone. You're doing the right thing. It's for the common good. Give away your liberties for the stick. And so people comply, right? Furthermore, about this social conditioning, they have encouraged the people of this world to be irresponsible by teaching that everyone is a victim of racial inequality, a victim of transphobia, a victim of LGBT phobia, a victim of religious phobia, like Islamophobia, stuff like that. And the list continues to go on and on and on. But what it's done, it's created in the mind of people around the world that they're victims, that they're just simply victims. Well, when people take a victim mentality, they don't feel they're responsible for themselves anymore. And they get into a mode of wanting to be taken care of. That's the deadly part of this, that they don't have the responsibility to take care of themselves. They want the government to take care of them, right? It's part of our sin nature. Our sin nature doesn't want responsibility. Our sin nature doesn't want to initiate. Our sin nature does not want to be responsible or stand up and act like an adult. Our sin nature doesn't want to speak the truth, right? So everything they're doing to social condition people is lending itself to the sin nature. And the ultimate thing is, man in his sinful nature wants to be taken care of like a baby, like a child. And so who do they turn to typically? They turn to the government. That's what's happening. And so this is happening in America and around the world. This social conditioning for this mentality of being a child. And look how emotionally fragile people are these days and how lazy they are these days. That didn't happen overnight. That happened after decades and decades and decades of socially conditioning people. So now you have people that if you say the truth, they're emotionally fragile and they can't take it. And they just break down and want something to happen to you and get hostile towards you, right? It's all because of social conditioning. And again, what has this all done? It has set the mindset for people who are going to go into tribulation for accepting the Antichrist, accepting the New World Order, for accepting everything that comes their way via the Antichrist or the Whore of Babylon or whatever. There was a statement, interesting enough, I made years ago. You probably have heard the statement before by Paul Henry Speke. He died in about 1972. He was the former Prime Minister of Belgium, the first chairman of the General Assembly of the United Nations in 1945. And one of the key founders of the movement towards European unity. I want you to see what this guy said back in 1945 and how it resonates today with the mindset they have created. He said this, quote, "We do not want another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people and to lift us out of our economic morass in which we are sinking. Send us such a man, and be he God or the devil, we will receive him." And that's the mentality that's with the world today. So recently, a new story came out from The Blaze that states this: tech company develops microchip implanted in the body that stores... Now, I'm going to use aeronautical terms in referring to this, so read through what I'm saying. Other prophecy teachers are doing this as well to just avoid getting tagged by the media platforms. That stores a Charlie Oscar Victor India Delta 19er experimental stick passport, so it's always accessible. So this, again, is referring to implanting something into our bodies, right? And this is part of the social conditioning of one day the mark of the beast. I'm not saying this is the mark of the beast. I'm saying it's socially conditioning people to eventually accept the mark of the beast in the tribulation. So we're seeing the run-up on this, the conditioning for it. The article goes on to say there have been rumors that a Charlie Oscar Victor India Delta 19er passport in the form of a microchip implanted into the body would likely be developed. But that speculation was widely dismissed as a conspiracy theory, right? Everything we say, they always say it's a conspiracy theory, but it ends up being true, right? the article goes on and says, however, the conspiracy theory now appears to be close to reality after a tech company touted a microchip that is implanted into the body that can serve as a Charlie Oscar Victor India Delta 19er experimental stick passport. It goes on and says, for years, the Swedish startup company Epicenter has specialized in implanting microchips the size of grains of rice into the body that can act as key cards to open doors, public transportation passes, or be a credit card. The Metro reported, quote, according to digital cultures researcher Mal Peterson, around 6,000 people in the country have so far had a chip inserted in their hands. And during the Charlie Oscar Victor India Delta 19er plan demic, I'm doing this on purpose, guys, the Stockholm-based Epicenter has worked on developing an implantable microchip that can be used as a Charlie Oscar Victor India Delta 19er experimental stick passport. Now, we've talked about that before, but now it's becoming a reality, is what the article is trying to say. And it goes on, the South China Morning Post also reported this. A startup hub in Sweden has showcased a new use for its microchip implants, your Charlie Oscar Victor India Delta 19er experimental stick passport. The company Epicenter plans to market the versatility of the technology it spent years developing. So they're weighing in on it. So it's not like this one news group picked this up. It's several news groups picking this story up and saying, look, they're developing this. Anyway, the article goes on, the chips use near-field communication, NFC, which can communicate with any NFC-capable smartphone. And notice that it can communicate with smartphones. That's the key right there. The company said that the procedure is entirely reversible. Right. So watch this video and watch them do this. It's incredible.
Implants are a very versatile technology that can be used for many different things. And right now, it's very convenient to have a COVID passport always accessible on your implant.
Whether they've had the stick, whether they you know, their banking might be on there eventually, their medical, everything. And this, again, is social conditioning for what's going to happen in the tribulation in the seven-year period called Jacob's Trouble. It's there, and now people are going along with it. So these researchers in that company, Epicenter, who have developed it, think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, because now you can have the stick passport always accessible on your implant. Isn't that wonderful? They think this is a good thing. And they continue on, and then they say this, the researchers, in case your phone runs out of battery, it's always accessible to you. All, because it's on your body. And so, of course, they say that's how we will use this technology today. Next year, they said we're going to use it for something else. I wonder what. Maybe putting all your economic system on that, all your banking on that, all your medical, all your insurance, all that, and tracking where you go. Yeah, that's probably coming. Now, the funny thing about this, I'm not the one that's crazy. You're not the one that's crazy. We've been saying this for a long time, right? We've been seeing the microchip thing. We've been talking about that for forever. But now the reality is now it's going to happen. And they're going to use it for, you know, the stick passport. I want to read some of the reactions to this that the Blaze Media put up and kind of just confirms what you and I have already known so far. So Representative Lauren Boebert of Colorado commented on this microchip and said, hey, remember when this was a conspiracy? Right. It's not a conspiracy anymore, right? We used to say this. I've been saying this for 15 years. And yet, here we are today, and they're doing it, right? Author Brian Sharp wrote this, Mark of the Beast. It's not the Mark of the Beast, but it's setting the stage for the Mark of the Beast. But see, these commentators, whether they're unbelievers or not, are saying this is very eerily similar to what we see in the book of Revelation. They're right. How about this guy, Ryan Grimm? He's a D.C. bureau chief at The Intercept. He asked this question, is this parody or real? I know, right? A lot of times we think it's parody. The things we say is parody. Oh, that's not really happening. But it's real. It's actually happening. How about this? Host Jesse Lee Peterson responded, can't wait till I become a robot. Right. Exactly. That's what's happening to people. They're putting these things, these AI chips in people. Yeah. Cyborgs. How about what journalist Max Blumenthal noted? The conspiracy theorists were right again. Exactly. They've called us and you conspiracy theorists, but it's true. They're happening. It's happening right in front of our very eyes. How about this? The Young Americans for Liberty tweeted, it's just 6 feet. It's just a mask. It's just 15 days to slow the spread. It's just a lockdown. It's just an experimental stick mandate. It's just a microchip now implanted in your arm. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't end. They just keep ratcheting this thing up. And they're right. That's totally right. So let's go to the Bible and review a little bit and see how this stair-steps its way to the mark of the beast, okay? The passage we want to look at is Revelation 13, 16 through 18, and you know it very well as prophecy students. He causes all, he's talking about the false prophet, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, means everybody on the planet is forced to do this, okay? To receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. That no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So here's what we need to understand in understanding Revelation 13. That passage is for the tribulation. It's not for now. So you can't say what they're doing right now is the mark of the beast. What you biblically can say is it's setting the stage for the technology that's going to be used in the future for the mark of the beast. So that's what you can accurately biblically say. Do not say this is the mark of the beast because that means you're in the tribulation and we're not. So it's a stair step to it. Okay. So, what is the mark of the beast about? Okay, so you're seeing the technology. But really, what you got to know theologically what's happening is Satan is counterfeiting the call of salvation by God, right, by forcing worship to the Antichrist, okay? So God calls people freely to salvation. Satan forces people to bow a knee to him and the Antichrist. God offers salvation. Satan forces worship of him. Okay, so that's the difference you can see theologically. Furthermore, Satan, through the mark of the beast, is counterfeiting the seal of God, which is on the forehead of the saints, right? So we have the seal of God on us. And that seal, obviously, is the Holy Spirit that seals us, right, at salvation. But it shows that we are owned by God. We are God's property. So Satan is counterfeiting that seal of God, and he's doing with a visible seal in the future, right? And so he's going to introduce his own counterfeit mark or seal, and it's going to be called the mark of the beast. Well, who gets it? Well, at that time in the tribulation, everyone on the planet gets it. And it's going to be located on the right hand or forehead. That's going to be very visible to people, okay? So God's seal is invisible on us, right? The spiritual world can see it, but the physical world can't. But Satan will put his own mark on people, and it will be visible. How does that do with a chip that's implanted, that's invisible in somebody? Well, let me explain in just a bit. But first, let me talk about the requirement. It is a requirement from the Antichrist that everyone do this, to be subject to him, to his authority, and to accept him as God or physically be killed. Okay? It's a forced submission to the Antichrist's ownership of them and the worship of him. That's what the mark is going to do in the tribulation. Right now, they're just saying, oh, you know, here's the technology to give proof that you've been stuck. Right? That's all it is right now. But in the future, it's an allegiance to the Antichrist of his ownership and the worship of him. Now, the word mark in Greek is charagma, or charagma, if I pronounce it right. Charagma comes from charasso. It means to sharpen, to engrave, to etch, to prick, to scratch out, or to cut. And so this charagma is therefore created by the action of a tool, such as a knife. So whatever this mark will do, it will be implemented by some type of tool, such as a knife, or perhaps a needle, right? That puts it on the skin, or in the skin, okay? So, Revelation 13:16 says, the material acted upon by the tool is the human body. Okay, so whatever tool they use, and it's a human body, namely the right hand and the forehead. And again, this may speak to a needle. I'm not going to be 100% sure or dogmatic on that, but in order to make a mark, what the word's coming from, you would have to do it with some type of instrument or tool, a knife or something like that, right? Interestingly, the King James Bible actually interprets that the mark will be in the hand and in the forehead. And the word is epi, and I'll talk about that in just a bit in Greek. But they translate it as being in. So that's interesting. The New King James doesn't, the NSAB doesn't. And they interpret it on the skin. But anyway, we'll get to that in just a bit. Another related word to this idea of mark is charax. Charax. And it's a pointed pole, a palisade, or a siege mound that could be interpreted. And charax appears only in Luke 19:43. Anyway, so it's the idea that there's something pointed, right? Something pointed that's being etched into the skin. Could be a clue that this could be a needle. Again, it can't be dogmatically sure, but it would support that interpretation, possibly. Again, don't be dogmatic. We're just taking the word and taking the related words that give us some type of clue about this mark. Okay, now let's get to the word epi. Okay, so it says a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. The Greek word epi, epi obviously means upon in Greek. It's a position above, and it can be used to be put in a place. It means something that's stamped, branded, sealed, tattooed, etched, engraved. And so with this mark, it gives people an undeniable identification, like a symbol giving irrefutable connection between two parties, visibly. So when someone sees the mark of the beast on someone in the tribulation, it shows their allegiance to the Antichrist between two parties, right? It shows the connection, and it's visible. Everyone who sees it will know the relationship between the wearer and the owner of the mark, right? Again, referring to a visible mark. But let me add this. It doesn't preclude something from being in the hand or in the forehead. It actually could refer to both. So here's maybe how we could possibly interpret this. It's going to be visible on the hand or forehead so everyone can see. But it doesn't preclude that they could put something in the hand or in the forehead, like a chip, right? But it's still going to be visible. Visible in what way? I don't know. It could be visible under a certain light, like we've talked about before. They could use that chemical, luciferase, funny name, luciferase. It has a chemical that lights up under certain light. It could be that. Or it's just simply some type of tattoo or something on the skin, but underneath the skin would be this, you know, chip that has all the information on it. So, what I'm trying to say is, it's probably both. It has to be on the skin to be visible, but it can be under as well. So you could have a mark on the top and then underneath the skin, you know, the chip. That's how I think I would interpret that. I could be wrong, but it has to be visible. It has to be visible. And anyway, what it will serve as a passport for economic transactions in the future in the tribulation. Like I said, you can't buy or sell. You won't be able to be permitted to work or make a living without it during that period of time. Again, it's an identification marker and a tracker by virtue of being needed for all economic transactions for every human on the face of the earth. So it tracks. It implies a cashless system since it must be able to record every economic transaction of the entire world. And it implies that it must be linked to a central banking system over the entire globe controlled, obviously, by the Antichrist. It also implies a one world currency, so a digital cryptocurrency, since it must track economic transactions over the entire world. And so, let's go to the symbolism of the mark of the beast. The symbolism, 6, is man's number. Man falls short, right? It means incomplete. So man falls short of perfection. 7 is the number of perfection. So, no matter how far we carry the number 666 mathematically, if you just go 666666666, it never becomes a 7. It's always falling short. Okay? But in the passage in Revelation 13, it says the number 666 is the name of the Antichrist. And so we got to remember that Revelation, the book of Revelation, is a survival manual for the tribulation saints and primarily for the Jews to survive the tribulation by accepting Messiah and knowing what's coming ahead, right? And so the 666 is a way for the Jewish people to identify the Antichrist. How so? Well, the Hebrew is an alphanumeric language. So the Hebrews will be reading this book along with Gentiles as well. And at the time when the Antichrist is on the scene, what the Hebrew people will be able to do is put his name in Hebrew, and the alphanumeric system of Hebrew will value 666. Now, what do you mean? Well, everybody's name in Hebrew has a numeric value, okay, because it's an alphanumeric system. The number of different calculations can equal 666 are endless, okay? So you can do all kinds of things trying to figure out the name of the Antichrist now, but you're not going to be able to do that. You only will be able to do it if the Antichrist is revealed, and then you take his name and put it in Hebrew. So there's no point in doing this at this time to figure out who it is. You'll never come up with it. It's impossible to figure it out. It's in essence, you can't figure his name out in advance. His name has to be revealed, and then you do it, okay? So let me give you an example. Like everybody's name in Hebrew has a numeric value. So if you take Yeshua's name, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, it ends up being an alphanumeric total of 749. Okay? So the scripture says those who are wise in that day will be able to point him out. They'll be able to take his name and get the alphanumeric 666, 666, and be able to identify that's the Antichrist. That's what God has done for the tribulation saints. And then obviously we know the penalty of anyone who takes the mark of the beast in the tribulation, not right now. Revelation 14, 9 through 11 says this, a third angel followed them saying, with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. So here's the deal. We understand that in the future, in the tribulation, those people who take his mark are condemned to hell. That's the dividing line at that point in time between Jesus and the Antichrist. So you're either going to follow Jesus or you're going to follow the Antichrist. That's the dividing line. And it happens at the midpoint of the tribulation. So even people who miss the rapture can still be saved during the first half of the tribulation, right? And even we'll have to make that choice that if they're going to follow Christ, they're going to have to follow him, but risk, obviously, certain death. But anyone who accepts that mark is showing that they have an allegiance to Satan, and therefore they are condemned for that. And so, that's the point of no return. But the point of no return happens at the 3.5 year mark. Now, there's some Bible teachers, I think John MacArthur came out saying that, if a believer or someone receives the mark of the beast in the tribulation, they can repent of that and get saved. No, they can't. That's not true. That's not what Revelation 14 says. If you take that mark, you're not coming back. End of story. It's as simple as that. That's the point of no return. So, anyway, that's the theological background on that. But we understand that these chip implants today, and what they're doing with them, using the ability to travel, buy and sell, is setting things up for the mark of the beast in the tribulation. So we're stair-stepping ourselves through social conditioning to that point. Thank God we'll be raptured prior to the tribulation. But you can see now how the world gets there. And it's through social conditioning. It's through these stair-step processes. So like when the Antichrist issues it, people will already be used to it. It won't be something brand new. They'll be used to it because now you're going to see people complying with it now with the stick mandate and the stick and passport. And that's what they're going to use. And eventually they're going to make it mandatory, with this stick, passport. And it continues to lead up to that tribulation. So think about this. The privilege that you and I have right now is that we are now seeing how the world sets itself up for the mark of the beast. Now, Christians forever, for 2,000 years, have been wondering how this is going to happen. But because you and I live in the last days, you and I get a privileged position to see how the thing gets set up. Now, that being the case, what God is showing you and I is he's proving his word and showing you and I that we can trust his word. Because it's going to happen, he says. This is how it's going to happen. He didn't tell us all the stair steps. But now that you see that, it doesn't take a lot of faith to believe, oh, yeah, I can definitely see them being able to control the buying and selling of everybody on the planet in the tribulation. You get that now. That's a blessing. That's a privileged position that you and I have. But with that privileged position comes responsibility. You and I must warn people about this. Again, don't go to somebody and say, hey, look, you're going to take the mark of the beast. That would be wrong, okay, theologically wrong. Just saying what you're doing is coming from social conditioning. It's really not about health, okay? It's not about health. It's about them wanting to track the buying and selling of every individual. It's about wanting to exclude those who don't comply with the system. It has implications of a global government. And that's what you have to start telling people. Say, do you understand that what they're trying to do through this? And again, it's not a conspiracy theory, guys. So just tell them what it is. This is what they're doing. And use that as a springboard to wake people up, to get them the truth, and get them the gospel of Christ, okay?